Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Phone on solid?
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your saying, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. Now, damning assessment of governments to implement the national agreement on closing the gap now that the Productivity Commission commissions a first review of the national agreement on closing the gap has found it's unclear how much funding states and territories have allocated to Aboriginal-controlled organisations. The report said most state and territory governments have not undertaken or published expenditure reviews, meaning spending has not been made public. We're talking about 15 years of failure. And look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Catherine Little, Snake Chief Executive Officer, and got Catherine on the line. Catherine, good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Catherine, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, sister.
My mob are the Arunda and Luridja people from the Central Australia regions, and today I'm on Wurundjeri country. I'm actually sitting in the hospital bed, actually next to my son who's about to have surgery, but this is a really good conversation, so I'll take all your good vibes.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm chucking it your way now, sister, and big shout out to your son there, sis. Look, we're talking about 15 years failure. Look, money's a tool, and we need the money to budget for steering the vehicle, so to speak, into the future. But we're lost if we don't know what monies are coming to the table. Is that right?
Oh, look, there's a couple of things there, you know. So the Productivity Commission report that was released earlier this week, you know, it was basically saying, well, we've seen a couple of things in the last couple of years that Aboriginal people should be really, really proud about and Torres Strait Islander people should be really proud about. And what it's shown is that when governments have been able to work with Aboriginal people on the ground to say, what is it that you need, how do we deliver it, and how do we ensure that you have the resources to deliver the programs that you need, you get a better result. What it's also shown is part of the problem is even though we've got a national agreement in place, because, you know, the closing the gap targets, they've been around for a long time, but the national agreement is new. What it showed was that when governments were able to commit to that particular agreement and change the way they were working, we got significantly better results. But in order for that to be seen at massive scale, then governments needed to lean in harder and work harder. So there is some real positive light shining through that report.
Fantastic. And with that positive light, well, it just helps. Like I said, we sound like a broken record, don't we, in regarding closing the gap, you know? But it is what it is, because the gap is still there, isn't it?
It is. And in some places, as I say, in some places we're getting traction, right? So a few of those targets are doing quite well. Some of them you can't see what they're doing. So I'll give you a couple of examples.
Please.
You know, we know in closing the early education outcomes, and we know that one's significantly off track. And that's the sector that I support. Mm. While that is still significantly off track and needs significant attention, what we've been able to see in the last couple of years, particularly in Queensland, has been new services coming on board, so that there are communities in Queensland there where there was no early childcare centre, and as soon as that childcare centre comes up, you know what? Mm. Every single child in that community attends. So they're really amazing. But the other thing is, and this is the ability to draw those things out, is, you know, up in some of those more remote regions that you've got there in Queensland, they've managed to not only, get the funding to be able to stand up a new childcare centre, but they've also been able to get in additional dollars to help train mob on the ground in community, not bring people in, mob
in community,
ground,
black on black.
To do those jobs. That's right, but it's not happening at the scale we need to happen at, and that does need a new push.
Sure, thank you. And so the conversations that are at the table with government in regard to help closing the gap, because we've got the solutions to our problems, haven't we, and Catherine?
Absolutely. That's what the Productivity Commission report showed. It showed that when you're actually listening to mob,
yes,
and you're giving them what they need, you get a better result. The problem is, how do you unpick some, you know, you got the states and territories and the Commonwealth, how do you unpick 120 years of them thinking they know how to do best?
Exactly.
That's a really hard culture push.
Well, exactly, you know, and hanging on tight to that, being like we say a know-it-all,
Well, look, sometimes it's like banging your head. That's right. Sometimes you feel like you're banging your head against a wall. I'm not going to lie, but I do. I always got to anchor myself in where have we seen the good things, and every time I've seen a really good thing, it's when mob have stepped up and said, this is how we do it.
Yeah. Well, uphill battle, and look, enjoying the fight then. How long have you held the reins there as Chief Executive Officer Snake?
Oh, my goodness, 3 years.
Yeah, enjoying the
journey?
3 years.
Oh, you know, I am. I feel privileged every day. I mean, don't get me wrong, some days I curl up in a ball and want to cry because it is tough work. But on the whole, what a privilege it is to work with our mob in the child and family services sector. I couldn't think of anything better to do.
Good. Well, the right person at the job, at the head there, my sister. Thank you very much for your yarn. All the best to your son there. And we'll talk soon, Catherine. All the best, eh?
All right. See you, Mom.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Catherine Little, her name is, Snake Chief Executive Officer, and Snake is the Secretary of National Aboriginal and Islander Child Care. So working in that space, a lot of gaps to be closed, and that's one of the gaps, of course. We sound like a broken record, but damn near an assessment of governments to implement the National Agreement on Closing the Gap. And it's a 15 years failure. As she mentioned, there's some good stuff going on, but still a lot more stuff need to be done in that space. Look, have you say, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Thank you. Yeah, deadly track there. That's Vision Lamaju and that's Teenage Ben. And yeah, you've got to have a vision. Vision for your future. What's the plan? This is your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Now, temporary disaster roaming, successful simulation shows what's possible. We're talking from heat waves to cyclones. This disaster season has been extreme weather impacting many communities across the country. Telstra working with other network providers and the government to explore the feasibility of temporary disaster roaming. And Telstra has successfully conducted a simulation of a temporary disaster roaming solution, which would allow regional communities to use any surviving network if their own has gone down during the natural disaster. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Steve Tinkler, a Telstra Regional General Manager, and we have Steve on the line. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Is that Trevor?
It is Trevor. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, fantastic. Where are you based, Steve?
I'm in Victoria, believe it or not. Victoria. I'm the other end of the country from you guys. Look at this. Yeah.
Hillbillies up north here, Cairns, far north Queensland. And look, we've got a bit of a slap around thanks to Kuralee and Jasper, ex-Cyclones, which makes your job hard as Telstra. So can you tell us more about the temporary disaster roaming solution there, please, Steve?
Yes, I don't know if you remember, late last year we announced that we were going to do a simulation about temporary disaster roaming, and now we've successfully tested that functionality that we believe will underpin that that future disaster roaming capability. So, and basically what that means is that if the solution would provide the ability for people to use any available mobile network during natural disasters, so if their mobile provider network has been impacted or doesn't have coverage. So it just creates that additional flexibility, yeah.
So they'll be able to help regional communities in those situations, and they've still got communication and contact with the outside world, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose as long as we've got a surviving network, it's that's probably the key part of it, is that if, depending on what's happened in that natural disaster, sometimes when we have long power outages and things like that, all networks can be impacted, but sometimes it might only be one network or there might be one network left. So what this means is that what the test is showing that it's possible that we can ensure that customers that are connected to other networks, normally if they fail, they can move on to the surviving network. So that's the simulation was really important for that, and because what we have to do is protect that surviving network as well to make sure that we don't overload it create some more problems and ensure that we can cater for the additional traffic on it.
Well, we're talking about the 21st century. We're talking about technology and advancing and what have you. So this could be a possibility of an ongoing thing, disaster roaming, a reality, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. We think this is a really good first step. We've been talking to all the other carriers since March last year, and as with the government. So this simulation actually really sort of sets us up for that next stage of looking at what are the design, what do we need to do, how does this work, how do we activate it, how do we deactivate it, after a disaster happens and all those sort of things. So to put all those those things in place, so that's what we're working towards from now.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And like I said, the global warming's real. We've got everything all upside down and regarding the weather and fire, floods and cyclones. So we need to adapt to what the weather's dishing out, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've seen it, haven't we? And you guys, living it right now, and it seems to be you're relentless, doesn't it? So we understand that from a communications point of view. We support the impacts of major weather events for a long, long time, and we just think this is a real, as you said, it's the 21st century, and we've got to keep moving and adapting and providing the best service we can under the circumstances, yeah.
Well, hats off to Telstra. Thank you very much, Steve. Friends of the community. All the best, Steve, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye. A Adela Yande, Steve Tinkler, his name is, and he's with Telstra Regional General. He's a Telstra Regional General Manager, and just talking about the temporary disaster roaming, which is a very successful simulation and shows what's possible. So when we have different companies who are down because of floods and because of electricity and what have you, and internet connection, then Telstra have got the temporary disaster roaming up and running and going very good. And look, it could be the way of the future for when we do have glitches in the system. There it is. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here. Hope your phone's working. Give me a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And Yarn Up with the ball around here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
on my foot is a river, but they're skipping stones. It'll freeze, come on, what you think I've choked. So shatter all the ice, just trying to keep me broke. You break up all the truth, I'm gonna leave no hope. Tell me why you keep me running now. Till the thoughts that ain't nothing now. Tell me why you keep me running now.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deadly Track there, Freedom, Mau Power, featuring Archie Roach. Uncle Archie Roach with us in spirit. This is your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yana Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And Yana with the Bullion on here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your Deadly Program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Now, the Albanese Labor government has announced an enduring resolution for people impacted by the collapse of the insurance provider Upla Group. Look, this is fantastic news, great news, after the Upla Group went into liquidation, and a lot of our mob who invested in Upla Group for their final days and regarding their funeral notice and what have you, and the paying for their funeral services. Now we have going to catch up and have a yarn now with Minister Linda Burney, Minister for Indigenous Australians, and talk about this space. On the line, Linda, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, my sister. Look, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, Linda.
Linda Burney, Minister for Indigenous Australians from Wiradjuri Country in southwestern New South Wales.
Yes. Beautiful footprint. And last time we yarned was at Yarraba last year at the festival.
It was.
And good to be yarning with you again. And look, for good reasons, this Albanese Labor government has announced an enduring resolution for the people impacted by the collapse of the insurance provider Upla Group. This is good news, sister.
This is really good news. It's about a $97 million program, and it is going to be beneficial for over 13,000 people.
Yes.
So the policyholders with active premiums on or after the 1st of August 2015 will be eligible for this payment. And the reason that we've got chosen that date, it was the date that the Upla Group could no longer use Centrepay.
Yes.
In other words, taking money directly out of people's payments. And the amount of money that's been ripped off and the pain that it's caused in communities and families is just insurmountable.
Yeah. Look, our mob were just doing due diligence and looking after their families and regarding providing funeral payments being paid. So investing in something so very important. And all one day we will be in that space, but you know what I mean? This company abused the situation, didn't they?
They were absolutely abusive and held themselves out to be an Aboriginal company, which they were not.
They were not, exactly.
And the shocking thing is that they gave the impression to people that they get a lump sum if they passed away, and of course that wasn't the case, the case at all. This went to the Banking Royal Commission, of course, and the government that I'm part of believes it's our responsibility and also the absolute right thing to do to make payments to people that have been gutted at the hands of this company.
Exactly, and the so-called company, the owners, were living the lifestyle second to none with all the flights around the world and the yachts and what have you. So abused our people in that degree.
Well, the issue of sorry business is really important in our communities. We all know that. And you know, what you said is absolutely correct. People thought they were doing the right thing by not having the burden on their passing.
Yes.
For finding money for a funeral. But they also signed up and paid often for children and grandchildren.
Yes.
And, of course, it was just a huge scam.
It was. So, look, fantastic. The Albanese government has come to the table to support the policy holders. And so there's light at the end of the tunnel.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm very, very pleased that we've been able to reach this resolution. And I want to acknowledge the Save Our Sorry Coalition and everyone else that's worked so hard on this.
So what do policyholders need to do? Who do they need to contact regarding...
The scheme will begin on the 1st of July 2024. There is a number that people can ring, and I should have it in front of me, but I do not. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But there is a number at the NIAA. Here it is. 1-800-079-098 to get information.
Again, 1-800-079-098?
That's correct, yes.
Lovely. Thank you very much for that number. So we'll let all the people know out there who got policy with the Euclid Group, and there is light at the tunnel. This is great news, Linda. Thank you very much. All the best to you, and thank you. 2024, we've got elections coming up later this year. How you feel, and throw your hat in the political arena, keep running, sister?
Well, they're in Queensland and Northern Territory, and of course Labor is in power in both of those jurisdictions.
Yes.
And I want them to stay in power.
There you go. Thank you very much. My sister, all
later.
The best to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn there. That's Linda Burney, Minister for Indigenous Australians. And we're just talking about the Australian, the Albanese Labor government has announced the enduring resolution for people impacted by the collapse of the insurance provider Euclid Group, who virtually scammed our people who were putting money in towards their funeral benefits program. And we're talking about 13,000 people, and then we have the government put $97 million on the table for running for 2 years, receiving applicants until 30 June 2026. And you can put in applications in July this year, July 1, 2024. And so, look, I'm thinking of brother JT there, Dan Mackay. He's always talked, and he was one of the recipients, so a participant, as a customer for Euclid. So he's always inquired. So there's good news there, brother JT, and to all our mob across this country who did invest in Euclid program, Euclid Group, and they went into liquidation and virtually scammed our people on the very sentimental business. You know, like I said, we all got a pathway and we're doing due diligence and looking after our family, providing your funeral being paid for. The mob scammed our people. So there it is. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Mister, you keep on taking, digging down deeper, losing my high vibration. Oh, I feel my body aching. Give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. Give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. See, I'm getting tired of your shit. Just give me that good love. Hey, sister, sister, you just know they can't resist her. All that money, ain't it funny how trying, keep on fighting, take it back. Give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. Just give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. I'm getting tired of your shit. Good love, whoa, 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 love.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn. It's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, coming to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, you up. Now, quotes attributes to Professor Sam Banks. We're talking CDU is supportive of a strong science-based approach to saltwater crocodile management under the draft plan. So we're going to talk to Professor Sam Banks, Director of Charles Darwin University Research Institute for Environment and Livelihoods. And we do have Professor Sam on the line. Professor Sam, good morning. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And you're based in Darwin, are you?
Yeah, yeah, in Darwin, Charles Darwin Uni here.
All right, thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about crocodile management under a draft plan. It is a bit of a juggling act in supporting, well, the animals first, the environment, the First Nation people, but tourism as well, all the above. So a bit of a juggle there for you.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I guess I'm based at the uni, not government, so I don't have to have the hard job of doing it. But yeah, it is. I guess it's... looking after our wildlife, there's a pretty big and profitable croc industry in the NT, tourism, cultural values, and then human safety too is often the big one.
All right, so when you look at this space here, can you give some ideas on and how we do that, how we look after all parties, crocodiles included?
Yeah, and I guess maybe taking a step back, I mean, most people know this, but a lot of the context for it is crocodiles were hunted, you know, not far off extinction until about the 1970s, and they've really really bounced back very well since then. So in the NT, we're probably getting up to a population of about 100,000 saltwater crocodiles now, which is more than Queensland and WA and a lot of other areas.
That so really they won't be extinct anytime soon then, will they, Professor?
No, they won't. They seem to have stopped increasing. Like, we think that's kind of back to where they always were. Okay. Some of the crocs are still getting a bit bigger, but I guess they're just growing up. That's what happens. So, yeah, and I guess the thing that always seems to get the most publicity for good reason is human safety, because it's a pretty terrible thing when someone gets taken by a crocodile and they're big, scary creatures. And there's a lot of talk about culling and things like that. I mean, I suppose the strategy now and the way I see it into the future, I think it works fairly well, is that there's, call it culling, call it removal, whatever you like, there's a really directed program of croc removal in areas of high human density, you know, where the risk is. Like around Darwin Harbour, there's about 300 crocs taken out each year, and some of those, you know, communities or tourism areas, there's much more focus on that. So yeah, I think that's something that's kind of well backed by science, really good monitoring, and it focuses the resources on that croc control and risk management where it really occurs. And, you know, everyone's got strong opinions on it, but, you know, in the end, we haven't had someone taken by a croc since 2018. You know, we've got 100,000 crocs. You go over to somewhere like Indonesia where they've got far fewer crocodiles and there were 85 people attacked last year. So I think, you know, there's
we're managing it really well, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I mean, you know, clearly it's, you know, they're big, scary animals, and it's something that needs managing. But there's, you know, we live with wildlife right around the world, whether it's crocs, sharks, snakes, whatever. So, generally, I think it's pretty good.
Well, they are virtually a prehistoric animal. They are virtually dinosaurs, and they know how to survive. And they're still with us in the 21st century.
Yeah, I know. Which is, a lot more than unfortunately happened for a few other species lately. So, it's pretty cool.
So it's a team effort, Professor, regarding this space. So we have you being a professor at university, talking with the traditional owners, talking with the rangers, national parks and wildlife, government. It's all everyone at the table, so to speak, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. Maybe that's one of the things that I think there's a bit of a focus on reviewing as this plan moves forward. Like, I think at the moment it really draws on, you know, the government people who are responsible for the monitoring and the croc management, people at university and elsewhere who bring in some of the new science. And I guess the, particularly from the, you know, community-based ranger groups around the top end, I mean, that's where the, not just the knowledge of country, but the expertise and the capability to do all the environmental monitoring, the data collection, the environmental management. And they've been really instrumental in a lot of the monitoring so far, but I think the plan going forward is to really think about, you know, whether the crop program could be a really good example of how we really develop good integrated monitoring and wildlife management with government rangers, universities, and, you know, what sort of, sounding a bit nerdy here, but what sort of systems, what sort of data management things we really need to bring everyone together to do that. So, you know, I guess the other big one we have around the top end in North Queensland, you know, where you guys are, is the fire management type thing as well. And that's worked really well.
So exactly.
Crocs are a, you know, in some ways another example of how everyone can pull together for something like that. So no, that's pretty cool. I guess the other thing maybe as well that might also be quite relevant, at least to remote communities, is the croc industry is, it's also an income opportunity as well.
Employment, like, yes, exactly. Business.
Yes. And the croc industry, it's about $25 million a year in the NT, and it completely relies on harvesting eggs from wild populations. So that relies on, you know, good croc population, good habitat management of their breeding sites, which is, you know, out on people's country right around the top end. So making sure that that's done in a proper way with the right permissions and gives people economic return for doing that, I think... that happens now, but it's really important that that's a continuing focus of doing that better and better as we go forward.
So, fantastic. Well, beautiful conversation. Thank you for sharing. And yes, the beautiful creatures are still with us and ain't going anywhere soon. But thank you very much, Professor Sam. You take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Adelia Young, Professor Sam Banks, Director of Charles Darwin University Research Institute for Environment and Livelihoods, and talking about the support of Charles Darwin University, supportive in the strong science-based approach to saltwater crocodile management under the draft plan. So just protecting the animals and protecting the environment and communicating with everybody at the table. And like I said, they were very close to extension back in the late 70s and early 80s. But they're now about 100,000 of them. So they are prehistoric and they know how to survive. They are dinosaurs and they're still with us. So we just need to nurture them, but also work with them closely and keep an eye on them. But have your say, Yana Strong, add to the conversation. Your mob, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, you mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Ready, Bakirge, Dasmeli, Aumriske. Lem ready, Bakirge.
Yeah, Baladru's fisherman. We're going to catch up a yarn. We have Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, good morning. Hey,
brother,
yes.
You know, the denial of the frontier war.
Yeah.
But you talk about animals and the environment and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to minor bird and cane toad and all that, you know, seeing them
Greenfield.
Meet this across. That kind of thing. And brother, anybody in WA there listening, and got to remember, you know, like when cane toad go over there, they're an invasion, brother. They're settling.
True that.
They're settling over there, brother. And brother, yeah, I went to school yesterday, but I was at high school for a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
But anyway, brother, I was going to talk about that. You said we talk about that. My granny, you know, that tried that boat, and talked about Tory accordingly. And I like to go, and I like talk about the other people that acknowledge my granny.
Yeah.
And the Baden Clay, Alison Baden Clay family. She was the other Alison. Alison Bell and my granny, she was the Alison, because they spoke about Alison Baden Clay a lot in the media, but not about my granny. And I know a lot of people that acknowledge it was the Morgan family, but I love that, brother.
Yeah.
And because white people acknowledge our people, I'd like to choke up some brother. I'd like to acknowledge Angela Meany, brother.
Yeah, Angela Meany, that's right, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
They found her down there, and not that person.
The Hannah Creek.
And, brother, I was very upset with ABC Four Corners about missing Indigenous women. Why I was upset, brother, they didn't have I forgot her name. She
who that?
Like Kevin Kevin Gilbert. Kevin Gilbert done his time, I think, in prison, and same. What the other one that done her time in prison? Mm. And she comes, she's a lawyer today. I forgot her name.
Yeah, I can't think, brother.
They made lemonade out of lemon. Instead of serving their sentence, they made their sentence serve them, and she became a lawyer.
Mm.
It'll come to me. It'll come to me. The football player, Kilroy. Kilroy.
Kilroy, Kilroy, yes. Okay.
Yeah. And on that ABC, they never talked to her, brother. And they never talk about Alison. Mm. And another one from the other, 1995, brother, she's missing there in Redfern, Lizzie Barlow, brother. They never talk about that, brother.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there was any criticism, I heard you talk with Wendy Lai, and there was nothing funny about that investigation up at the Common.
Mm.
But, you know, like I said, we can also criticize, but we can also praise the bully into, and
okay.
I praise the detective, brother.
Yes.
I praise the detective for Erica Leedy, brother. They were quick and get that bloke from into around the truck. Mm. Taxi driver, brother.
Yes.
I praise the detective for that one. And anyway, brother, get up Four Corners. They had three indigenous, two indigenous suspects one from Alice Springs and the other one from Catherine.
Mm.
And there was an indigenous lady down in Brisbane that was missing. And I don't know whether they got this. They had suspects and charged them yet. But the two in the territory, brother, they no one say almost immediately, they got them, you know, they didn't take them long to get them.
Mm.
Because it doesn't take, and a lot of that is a correlation with alcohol and crime, eh, brother. But these other ones, I sort of judge, when any married woman goes missing, or even white woman, brother,
yeah.
It's much of a premeditated, I reckon. It's controlled, and they don't find any problems, not what they call them, cold case, eh, brother. And they don't find, and straight away I say, oh, a white woman would have done that. But I wasn't happy, brother, about, but you know who did a good program on missing women was the other channel that committed him under investigation.
Mm.
And they covered that one from WA, from Bloom, brother. From Bloom. And that was a good coverage, there, brother. And the white woman that done it, I think 7 years before, and he died. Mm. I think they left a letter or something like that. But, yeah, I wasn't happy with that. And, you know, they talk about, I think I'm more investigative journalism. They done that program. But, I would have liked to see him would have done an interview with Debbie Kilroy.
Mm.
And would have talked about Lizzie Barlow. And, and talk about Alison, brother. Thank you very much, brother. Have a good day, brother.
You
and
too, my brother.
For the election.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, my brother. Beautiful.
Yeah, brother.
Someone regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black, Yarnin up strong there, having his words and having his say. And your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program. We come to you live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. A big shout out to our First Nation Radio Stations across the Delhi country of ours, a Delhi network it is. And a big shout out. We deliver all our yarns, all our stories, and play our beats and our musics. And it is a powerful tool. And this daily program, like I said, been running for 11 years. I've been running it for 11 years, but it is your program. I'm just happy to steer the ship, but it is a team effort. And big shout out to the board directors and the staff here at Bumper Bripper Media. So with that, Trendy Trev is going to sign off, and thank you very much for your company, Mob. And you can have that daily yarn being continued next week. That daily number 1-800-422-416.
You say what I wanna hear, 'cause it's easier than saying it's complicated, and I hear you loud and clear when you say I'm overreacting, just sick of you asking me over and over, then tell me it's over when I say it's complicated.
Just going to talk to Solon again. Solon, you there? Hello, Solon?
Yeah, brother. I'll say to them WA Mob again. Don't be too hard on the Kate, though. They're like Pauline, brother. that was born here, their indigenous mother. Thank you, brother.
Good point. Too deadly. Love that. That's someone there. But look, we'll go to the news, your mob. Thank you very much for your company. Another week of National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yawo, your mob.
Globe on the lead.